I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in just a moment in Jonah, chapter 1, with verse 1. There's a question I want to put to you, and I trust you'll remember the question, and may God give you the answer. The question is, who cast Jonah into the sea? Who cast Jonah into the sea? I want you to write that question somewhere, so you have the opportunity to remember it. Who cast Jonah into the sea? As far as I'm concerned, if you can answer that question, you can answer all other questions that come to your life. That's how important it is. We know that it's the Lord and God alone who gives spiritual understanding concerning the things of God. And may the Lord give spiritual understanding in this matter. And as I read the scriptures, I want you to listen carefully, because you may think you have the answer, and then you'll have to think again. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wroth and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. So Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the sea, into the deep, in the midst of the seas. And the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark, if you would, please, as you're praying for me. Verse 15 of chapter 1. So they, that is the sailors, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. That's what the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 15. The sailors cast him into the sea. With their hands, they cast him in. But now Jonah prays in chapter 2. And as he prays in chapter 2, he prays to God. He cries, the Bible says, unto the Lord. And he says to the Lord in verse 3 of chapter 2, for thou, meaning the Lord God, the covenant God of the Hebrews, Jehovah, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The question is, who cast Jonah into the sea? I'd like to hear you echo that question. Would you say it once? Who cast Jonah into the sea? And without my voice involved, I'd like you to shout it out. Would you please, once again? Who
cast Jonah into the sea?
Who cast Jonah into the sea? Every time there's a question in your life about something going on, something misunderstood, something puzzling, mysterious, something you can't grasp, and you think, why? What is this all about? I want you to remember this question. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Who cast him into the sea? Now, we give Jonah a hard time as a disobedient prophet, but be careful. Be careful, because we're all Jonahs. God has commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God has given us our assignment. He has told us what to do. He's laid it out clearly for us. Those of us who know the Lord know that we're to tell others who do not know the Lord about the Lord. And I think how many times I've had a seat on an airplane or been in a public place and the Spirit of God has prompted me to be a witness. And I've struggled with that. No time now, Lord. I'm trying to get a little rest. I've got other things on my mind. And God says, I gave you this place, this time, this person. You're to be my witness. And I've struggled and been disobedient to God. We know that God dealt with Jonah as his disobedient prophet. We know that finally Jonah got to Nineveh. And what he did in his preaching at Nineveh is recorded for us in the Word of God. I want you to notice it, please. In the third chapter of Jonah, the Bible talks about Jonah and his preaching. In verse 4, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Count those words. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In our English Bible, 8 words. In the Hebrew, 5 words. When Jonah finally obeyed God, God sent a mighty revival. Biblical historians tell us that perhaps this was the greatest revival in human history. To think of what happened in Nineveh. An 8-word English sermon. And think what God did. But he worked first in the heart of his prophet. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no. He hated the Ninevites. He hated the Assyrian people. They were the enemies of Israel. They were the masters of torture and terror. I'm sorry to say this, but Jonah would have said, they all deserve to go to hell. And the truth of the matter is, all of us deserve to go to hell. said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going in the exact opposite direction. So he went to Joppa, boarded a ship, going to Tarshish. And the sea, the Bible says, became tempestuous. And to personify the sea, God says the sea wrought. Everything the sailors did, the sea rose up against it. These were seasoned sailors. These were men of the sea. And they knew the sea, but they had never been in a storm like this. They feared the ship would be broken. They started talking about what to do. They cast things overboard. They wondered, how can our lives be spared? And they recognized from this tempestuous sea and all the rotting that the sea brought against them that this was something supernatural going on. And then Jonah spoke of the creator of the seas, and they were exceedingly frightened, and they thought, we must cast him overboard. He told them, cast me overboard and the sea will be calm. Can you imagine? When they finally took their hands and wrapped them around this disobedient prophet, and literally in that tempestuous sea, they threw him into the sea. And suddenly, the sea calmed. Absolutely calm. Perfectly calm. Think of it. Perfectly calm. And then they were exceedingly afraid. And God prepared a great fish, the Bible says. Many people try to explain how a man could have naturally lived inside a fish and finally come up on dry ground 3 days later. The Lord Jesus chose this story to illustrate his death and his burial and his resurrection. He verified that this is a true story, and it is true. But this was all a supernatural act, nothing natural here, a supernatural thing that God did. And if you stop right there and you say, well, who cast Jonah into the sea? Most everyone is going to finish with the first chapter and say, well, we see in our mind's eye, we read the narrative, and we understand that the sailors cast Jonah into the sea. But ask Jonah. Because when Jonah prayed from the belly of this whale, he prayed to God, and he recognized who truly cast him into the sea. And God used all of this to prepare his man because of the passion and compassion God had for those Assyrian people. And the message he wanted to be preached in that great city, and the mercy that God wanted to show. And we must never miss this. Our great God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, delights in nothing more than showing mercy upon people. And he does what is necessary in the lives of his children to prepare them to be obedient children that lost and dying men and women, boys and girls around this world might hear of the mercy of God. If you're a Christian, it's because God has shown you mercy. If you're a believer and you know the Lord is your Savior, then you know what the psalmist says is true, that goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. But someone, somewhere, sometime, had to be obedient to God and bring to you God's message so you were able to hear of God's mercy and receive God's mercy. And the Lord is still at work doing that. I ask you again, who cast Jonah into the sea? Who cast him in? Perhaps if we look at our Bibles, we can have some other people from Scripture give us answer to this question. If you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis, just for a moment, to the 45th chapter. In Genesis chapter 45, I want us to ask Joseph, who cast Jonah into the sea. You remember Joseph? Joseph was a bright, handsome, 17-year-old boy with a wonderful future ahead of him, beloved of his father, growing up in the right kind of home. And in obedience to his dad, he went out one day to check on his brothers. And their hearts were full of jealousy and envy toward Joseph. And when they saw him coming, they devised an evil plot. They first thought, "We're going to kill him." And one of the brothers interceded on Joseph's behalf to keep him alive. They cast him into a pit. And then it just so happened that Midianite merchantmen were traveling on their way along the route, the trade route down to Egypt. And someone said, "Let's sell him as a slave to Egypt." And they retrieved Joseph from the pit, sold him as a slave. When they sold him as a slave, they took the beautiful coat that was Joseph's coat of many colors and killed an animal, covered Joseph's coat with blood so that they might tell their father the lie that an evil beast had devoured him. And an evil beast had devoured him, but not the beast that they said. The wickedness of their own hearts had sinned against him. You see, when I'm talking to you about these things, I don't want you to get the idea that people can act with impunity. I mean by that that there is certain punishment, certain responsibility. When a crime has been committed, that crime must be paid for. There's not impunity here, not exemption. There's not exemption from payment. Don't get that idea. But the one sinned against will tell us who cast Jonah into the sea. And so now, Joseph has been sold into Egypt. Perhaps you know his record of going into Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife lying about Joseph and Joseph being cast into prison and then promoted to be the prime minister of Egypt. And God blessed him and used him in such a way that Egypt became the breadbasket for the whole world and for the saving of Joseph's own household. And now, because they're starving to death, his own brothers come to Egypt for food. And God tells us in the 45th chapter of Joseph receiving his brethren, now Joseph looks not like a lad of 17 cast into a pit and sold to Midianite merchantmen, but a grown, full-grown man, distinguished, noble, and unrecognizable to his brothers. And Joseph can stand it no longer. And the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 45 of Genesis, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me," and there stood no man with him while Joseph made known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." I want you to mark that expression in verse 5. You sold me, but God sent me. Joseph knows who cast Jonah into the sea, because Joseph knows who was behind his brothers with cruelty, with anger and envy, sinning against him, selling him as a slave. But he saw through all of that. And he recognized, as he said to them, "It's true, you sold me. But I understand now, God sent me." Who cast Jonah into the sea? Again, Jacob is dead now. The old man, the father's gone, just the boys left and their families. In the 50th chapter of Genesis, the Bible says, begin with verse 15, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee this evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.'" They made up this lying speech. They said, "Now daddy's dead and there's no buffer between us and Joseph, and he has all this power in Egypt. There's no telling what he'll do to us." So they devised this little speech they'd make, and they said, "Joseph, I need to tell you something. Before daddy died, he said, 'Make sure you tell Joseph when I'm dead that he needs to forgive you for the evil you've done against him.'" Well, the daddy said no such thing, because no such thing was necessary. You know why? Because Joseph knew who cast Jonah into the sea. And if you're about to get even with somebody for something, it's not necessary if you know who cast Jonah into the sea. God has done something for you, not against you. You say, "They did me wrong. They said something about me. They've tried to wreck my life. They've tried to ruin me. They've tried to hurt me." Wait a minute. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Who cast Jonah in the sea? And Jonah wept. What a man. Joseph wept. The Bible says, what a man. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also wept and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not. For am I in the place of God?" What a question. Many people try to take the place of God. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Mark that, would you? You thought evil, but God meant it unto good. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Johnny called me and he said, "Pastor, Jack just said to get a hold of you quickly and to pray for his little girl. Someone was in the yard playing ball with her and they took a heavy ball and threw it very hard at a close distance and it hit her in the face. No doubt it's bursted her lip and broken some teeth, and this beautiful child has been injured." And he just said, "Call the preacher and ask him to pray." And I said, "I'll do it." A little while later, he called me and he said they took her to a dentist and the dentist said, "No, she must go to a surgeon." And they took her to a surgeon and the surgeon said, "I need to tell you something. You brought her in because someone threw a ball and you thought they did some sort of damage to her teeth. But this child has a tumor in the roof of her mouth. And if it had been left longer to remove it, may have taken her life. But the least it would have done is disfigure her little beautiful face. You got her here just in time. I want to ask you something. Who threw the ball into the child's face?" Somebody said, "That mean neighbor boy, that guy just meant to hurt her and I'm mad about it." No, you better be glad about it. Because that boy may have pitched the ball and shouldn't have. But who cast Jonah into the sea? Who allowed all that to happen? God himself was looking after that child. to let that ball be thrown just beyond the pale of what mother and dad could do with a few band-aids and a little household medicine. Who cast Jonah in the sea? I want you to come in just a second, Joseph, and I want you to sit down for a moment and tell all these people. Now, you've had lots of time to think about all of this and centuries to look over it, and we're trying to get an answer to a question. We want to know who cast Jonah into the sea, because we know there was a mighty revival in Nineveh, maybe the greatest revival in human history, and Jonah had to have God work on his heart to get him there. I want to ask you a question. Who cast Jonah into the sea? And he'd tell you. Ask Jonah, listen to his prayer when he prayed, Lord, thou hast cast me into the sea. Let's ask another character, well known, I hope well known to you, in 2 Kings chapter 5. Would you open your Bible there? The Assyrians are on the rampage. These marauding soldiers are out coming down from the north into Israel. Parents in Israel are talking about what could happen to their children. Reports have been received that even children have been taken as slaves by these Syrian soldiers. And sure enough, the worst thing possible that a mother and father would want to hear has happened. A little girl, like your little daughter, was out in the yard playing, perhaps just a short distance from home, and these soldiers swept down like vultures, and they took this child from her home and homeland and carried her all the way north into the land of Syria, kidnapped and gone. And the Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. I want you to note one thing here. The word Lord in verse 1 of chapter 5, in our English Bible, it's a translation. It's a way that the translators used to emphasize the name of Jehovah. All capital letters. There's no doubt about what God is referenced here. It is the God that the Hebrews would say is the only true and living God. It is Jehovah God, the same God we worship. This is the God that Hitler and his henchmen said in World War II, no Jew can say the name Jehovah. Mention any name for God, but don't say that name, or you'll be put to death. That name. And God says, our God, the only true God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Lord, had given deliverance unto whom? Syria. God blessed them. God was in on what they were doing. Strange as it sounds, that's what the Bible says. Now look at verse 2. And the Bible says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Of all things, taken captive from her homeland, and now placed in the very home of the man who's responsible for leading the army that kidnapped her. Right to the top. Right to the top. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What? Unheard of. Unbelievable. What did you say? You said there's a certain prophet of God. If Naaman, who's the king's man, the right-hand man, the head of all the army of Syria, a mighty man in valor, a great leader of men, But he has leprosy. He's dying with leprosy. You say that if he got to a certain prophet, he could be healed? That's right. That's right. Well, don't you know the word got to the king? And King Ben-Hadad said, we're going to see about this. They were in desperate straits and they needed their man Naaman. And so the story says that Naaman went to see the prophet, and the prophet didn't even take the time to go out and greet him. He just sent a servant out and said, go down there and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman, he's used to ordering people around. He's used to telling everybody what to do. He's used to getting the best out of people, and he's used to talking to the people who are the top people, not some gopher who just goes for this guy and for that guy. And it ticked him off big time that the prophet didn't come out. And he's angry. He says, aren't the rivers of Syria just as good and better than this filthy Jordan? And one of his soldiers spoke to him, calmed him down. Thank God for those people who can have the courage to approach an angry man and try to help him. And said, let's go to the river. Watch, would you? Would you gather along the banks of the river? Would you please, just for a moment, watch him go down once and come up and twice and come up. They're counting 3 times and come up and 4 times and come up and 5 times, come up and 6 times. And the 7th time he goes down and he comes up and the Bible says his skin is like that of a child. He's healed. He's healed. Not only is he healed, look what the word of God says in his testimony in verse 15. And he returned to the man of God and he and all his company and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. This man becomes a believer. A believer. And there's no doubt in my mind that a mighty revival swept through Syria. Would you listen, please? And I believe we're going to see many of those Syrian people associated with Naaman, who was once a leper and God healed him. We're going to see them in heaven. Because they were saved as a result of this man's testimony. Let's ask the little maid. Let's ask the little maid. Little maid, I want you to tell us. We're trying to get an answer to a question. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Please tell us. And she would say, I'd like to tell you this first. You know, I was out one day in the yard of my house and these soldiers swept down like vultures and carried me away and I was so frightened. And they took me to the head man's house. And I thought, where is God? Why has God let this happen to me? And lo and behold, I found out when I got there to wait on his wife that the husband was a leper, and I knew what God could do with leprous people. He could heal them. And I gave my testimony about God and God's prophet. And let me use my imagination, not quite so sanctified, but let me use it just for a moment. And I think the little girl would say, you won't believe what happened, but it's true. Naaman did what the prophet said, and he trusted my God as his God. And all down the streets, everywhere I'd go, people were thanking me because they had come to know my God as their God. And I realized that though those men did a terrible thing and swept me away with them and took me away from my parents, I can see now who really was behind all of that. Yes, I can tell you who cast Jonah into the sea. But if you read Jonah's prayer, you can find it for yourself. Mike Curley is my dear, dear friend. He pastors in Crossville, Tennessee. He was out doing what pastors do, making visits, and this day to a hospital. He made a hospital call and was leaving the hospital, went out in the parking lot, was about to get in his car, and some driver, I won't say it was a woman, I won't say it, but some driver actually backed into him and hit him. Not in his car, hit him. And broke his leg. Can you imagine a pastor saying, here I am out making hospital calls, and trying to serve the Lord and do God's work, and somebody runs over and tries to kill me and breaks my leg, and they have to take him back in the same hospital he just came out of. And the doctor said, you've got to go to Knoxville, to a hospital that's enlarged and capable of other things. There's something more here than a broken leg. They got him to the University Hospital in Knoxville. And they said to him, you've got bone cancer. And we've caught it early enough to do something about it. Now, he nearly died three times. What a man of God. What a precious friend he is to me. Mike Curley, would you say you could tell us who cast Jonah in the sea? And he'd like to give you the testimony, by the way, much better than I could give it. And he'd say something like this to you if we had him here, and we can. He would say, I could tell you who was driving the car, humanly speaking, and I could tell you who might have been a little careless and backed into me. I could tell you what kind of car it was, and I could give you all the details, and that's the report the police would have taken or an eyewitness would have taken. But in my heart, I can tell you who really drove that car and drove it right into my leg so that I would be winding up in a hospital and my life could be saved and ministry extended and God make over my life. I can tell you who did it. If you want me to answer who cast Jonah in the sea, it's the same person Jonah prayed and said, cast him in the sea in Jonah chapter 2. I have a question for you. Who cast Jonah into the sea? You say, but you can't believe what these people did to me at work. You can't believe what they said about me. I lost my job because of what they said. Wait a minute. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Are you a child of God? You say, but I've been trying to do the best I can for years, and somebody said something that's the furthest thing from the truth about me, and I don't know why they said it. Wait a minute. Are you one of God's children? Then who cast Jonah into the sea? When you answer that question, you get the answer to 1,000 more questions. By the way, who crucified Jesus? If you turn with me, please, to the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter. We know who crucified Jesus if we know who cast Jonah in the sea. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in this great sermon as we come into it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, the preacher declares, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Listen carefully, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The preacher said, him, would you mark that word? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Would you mark this word? Ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Are they exempt from punishment? Is there impunity here? No. The Bible says in Zechariah and the prophecy in chapter 12 and verse 10, that they will look on him whom they have pierced. They're guilty. They're guilty. Ye, by wicked hands, have taken and crucified. But who crucified Jesus? Before any man walked on this earth, God knew everything that would happen on this earth. And in the determinate counsel of Almighty God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, a decision was made. And the Bible says, God, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no debate about who crucified Jesus. And the Romans drove the nails and the Jews sold him out. Sure they did. And they took keen delight, many of them took keen delight in doing so. And those Jews will look someday on him whom they have pierced. No doubt. But we know who crucified Jesus. The Bible says in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, speaking of the Lord, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I can hardly imagine such a thing. But it's true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I want to ask you a question. Who cast Jonah into the sea? I want to fight back. It's in us, isn't it? It's in us to say, you did me wrong and I'm going to do you wrong. It's in us to say, you hurt my children and I'm going to hurt you. It's in us. It's in us. But God wants us to look beyond the temporal and see the eternal. He wants us to look beyond the visible and see the invisible. The invisible. There's one great lesson in life that sees us through. And we learn it when we learn who cast Jonah into the sea. My wife has a life verse. It happens to be the life verse for many people. It was the life verse for Dr. Lee Robertson. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And most people quote it like this. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But that's not what it says. It says, and we know. Absolute confidence, assurance with certainty. Did you know certainty is the hallmark of the Christian life? With certainty. Certain of heaven, certain of hell, certain of salvation, certain of the Word of God, certain that God lives and reigns. With certainty. And we know that all things work together for good. Amen. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And the hardest verse in the Bible, I believe, to believe. I'm going to read to you. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here it is. Mark it. The hardest verse in the Bible to believe, to make true in your life as an individual. For all things are for your sakes. Would you mark all things? Didn't I just quote from you Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good? All things are for your sakes. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Meaning we believe this. It keeps us from fainting. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. But Lord, you don't understand. I see this child and I first think this child is not perfect. Who cast Jonah in the sea? I've had to deal with these people and I've done the best I could do. I've done them nothing but good. They're doing me nothing but bad. But I ask you, who cast Jonah into the sea? What is God up to? What is God up to? For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Does it hurt? Yes. Do you suffer? Yes. Is there pain? Yes. Are there wounds? Yes. Yes. The outward man perishes. But the inward man, when we give this to God, Lord, I know you're in this. I know you're in this. I know you're working in this. Because I know who cast Jonah into the sea. The outward man perished. The inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding... What language? What language? Look at it. Worketh for us a far more exceeding... And let's add to that, an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. There's a little lady whose hand I'm going to shake, and if possible, whose neck I'm going to hug when I get to heaven. When I started out as a preacher, I didn't want to preach. I was so timid, so frightened, so fearful. I would disrupt every church program where they invited me to speak. I'd say, I know you just had your best soloist sing, and I know your choir just gave their best song, and you've invited me to come and preach, but would you please open your hymn book and have everybody sing one more song? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Please, it'll help me. And a little child with just a problem with a fever or eyes or something that could be solved easily. And a doctor makes a terrible mistake and puts mustard packs on the little baby's eyes and burns her eyes and blinds her for the rest of her life. And a mother holds that little blind baby now to her breast and says, oh, dear God in heaven, what this doctor has done, what this doctor has done. Oh, dear God in heaven, what this doctor has done, what this doctor has done to my baby. But her little baby grows up to be the renowned gospel songwriter we call Fanny Crosby. And she sees the street of gold and she sees the gates of pearl. She has seen the face of Jesus now. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Who cast him in? Well, I'll tell you, I was with those sailors that day, and we were all scared to death, and the storm was about to tear the boat all to pieces. I'm sorry, but I put my hands on him, and I helped him throw him overboard. And the most amazing thing happened. The sea hushed. That's the way it looks to me. That's the world's view. As a believer in Jesus Christ, live beyond the world's view. Live above the world's view. Ask Jonah. And Jonah would pray, Lord, thou hast cast me into the sea. And when you answer that question, God begins to give grace to such a measure that you can behave like a Christian now when you know who cast Jonah into the sea. You're not going to hate people for what they've done. You're not going to stay mad at somebody because they've done you wrong. He did me wrong. No, no. You're going to know who cast Jonah in the sea. And you're going to know that God is up to something great in your life. Because there's a great city where they need to hear the gospel. And He's working in us to do something for Him in a greater way. One answer I'm going to ask you. We've had class now for quite a while. The teacher's gone on and on and on. But I have a question for you. This isn't a long test. It doesn't have 100 questions. It's not multiple choice. It's not true or false. It's just a test with one question. Here's the question. I want you to shout out the answer if you know it. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Would you tell me?
God.
God did. Let's pray, may we?